Good morning, City Reach. It is so good to be here with you this morning. I miss you guys all so much, and I can't wait until we're together again. Till then, it is an honor and a privilege to be here before you, closing out the series of Passionately Pursuing God's Presence. This is week 5, and we're going to talk about Hannah. Now, you guys are going to have to bear with me, because when the Lord gave me this word, I was like, But I'm going to give it to you as He gave it to me, and I want you to know I am not going to read entirely from the Bible the whole time, but there are a lot of times I am going to go ahead and check out where I highlighted and underlined because, you know, it's not defacing the Bible. It's okay to highlight. It's okay to underline. The Bible says to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't divide the word of truth if you haven't read it. So we are going to go to the Lord in prayer very quickly, and then we're going to get started, okay? Father God, I come before you today just thanking you and praising you for who you are, for how you love us, bless us, and keep us, Lord God. We're so grateful to be in your presence once again. Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Let them see none of me and all of you, Lord God. Let me decrease that you might increase, and we'll be careful to give your name honor, glory, and praise. And our souls say amen. So, today we are going to talk about Hannah. And I have to admit, when the Lord said Hannah, you know, I had all these great women in mind. You know, the women who spoke before me for these past 4 weeks, you know, it's Mary and it's this and it's Esther. And yes, Lord, one of those. Lord said, no, Hannah. Okay. But Hannah was just a mom. Yes, Hannah was a mom. So we find Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. There's verses 1 through 26. I'm not going to read them all, but I will tell you that when we meet Hannah, this is what we find out about her. Hannah is a wife. Hannah is a first wife because back then it was okay to have multiple. So her husband Elkanah had two wives. It was Hannah, which the Bible says was childless, and it was Peninnah, his other wife, who had multiple children. So I don't know about you, but I'm already in my feelings because you have one woman. No, make that two women, same household. And we have a case of the haves and the have-nots, if you will. So it's already uncomfortable, but let's get into the story. I'm going to start in chapter 4 because it talks about how Elkanah would go to worship and give a sacrifice yearly at the temple. And it says in verse 4, whenever Elkanah offered a sacrifice, he always gave portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to each of her sons and daughters. But he gave a double portion to Hannah, for he loved her, even though the Lord had kept her from conceiving. Her rival would taunt her severely just to provoke her because the Lord had kept Hannah from conceiving. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always been taught that the Lord doesn't do anything haphazardly, that everything in the Bible is there for a reason. And the first thing that jumped out at me was that just repeated itself. It said twice that the Lord kept Hannah from conceiving. So the first point we're going to talk about is that when you're passionately pursuing God's presence, you have to trust him.
Come on.
God gives you desires. And the word says, if you delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? So here's Hannah, loving on God, a woman of God. And we find that God closed her womb. So she has this huge desire to have kids. And it's not happening. And on not happening, it's happening in a household where she's living with another woman that has children. So again, in my feelings, I'm upset for Hannah already. But what this taught me is that when you can't see God's hand, you got to know his heart.
Ooh, yes, I like that.
He said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Just because the plan doesn't look like you think it will look like or should look like doesn't mean that he's not all in it. You've got to know the heart of your God. And the only way you can do that is to have a relationship with him. And that's one of the things I found out in this book. Hannah had a relationship with God. So we're going to go back to the story, if you will. And it says, whenever Hannah went up to the Lord's house, her rival taunted her in this way every year. Hannah wept and would not eat. Why are you crying? Her husband Elkanah said. Why won't you eat? Why are you troubled? Am I not better than 10 sons? Let's pause for a minute, shall we? Yes, this is me and my feelings. This is why the Lord had me speak about this, because, sir, this isn't about you. There's one thing that the Bible talked about in verse 5. It talked about how Elkanah favored Hannah. He gave her a double portion, even though that she was unable to conceive. So he favored her. And then he also said to her, am I not better than 10 sons? Sound is truth? No, you're not. But that's beside the point. The point is that when you're pursuing God's presence, your desire can't be fulfilled or fixed by someone else.
Ooh, that's good. Come on.
Her husband couldn't fix it. He favored her. He gave her double. He tried to stand in. Am I not better? No, because when you have a desire from God and you have a desire to be in God's presence and you're wanting something from God, only God will do.
Yes.
So we all, it also talked about Peninnah in verse 6. Peninnah, the woman with the kids living in the house with her. The woman who was taunting her every time she went to the house of the Lord, to the point where Hannah cried and couldn't eat. Do you know how upset you have to be to not eat? At least me personally. So this showed me that when you're passionately pursuing God, haters can't stop you. It said whenever Hannah went to the house of the Lord, Peninnah taunted her.
Wow.
But it still says she went. Said whenever she went, which means she went multiple times.
Yes.
All the talking, all the haters, all the naysayers, don't let them stop you from pursuing God. I'm telling you guys, this is a good story. It's all kinds of juicy. I was like, what in the world is going on over there? Got two women living in the house. One has not. One's giving the other one a hard time. Husband's like, aren't I enough? What is going on? So in verse 9, it says, Hannah got up after they ate and drank in Shiloh. Eli the priest was sitting on a chair at the doorpost of the Lord's tabernacle, deeply hurt. Homegirl was hurt. She was upset. She couldn't eat. She's been crying. Deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears. So what we see Hannah is being transparent, right? She's hurting. She feels that I have this desire deep down in my belly that won't go away. And I believe the Lord placed it there, but it's not coming to pass. I've got this person in my ear taunting me, making my life miserable. I have to wake up every morning and see her children. I've got my husband over here wondering why he's not enough. And all I want to do is cry because I'm so hurt. What I learned about Hannah in that moment is that when you're passionately pursuing God's presence, your pain can't stop you. It said Hannah prayed out of the depth of her hurt and resentment.
Yes.
In verse 16. This is real, people. Life happens. Situations don't always turn out like you expect them. There's a lot of disappointment. But in that, Hannah got up from the table. Left, and where did she go? She went to pray in the Lord's presence. Let your pain drive you into the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
So I'm going to shorten the story a little bit. I'm not going to read, but basically when Eli sees her, Hannah's praying. She's crying. She's going through, but her lips aren't moving. It kind of reminded me of when Mary found out she was pregnant with Jesus. And it said she pondered these things. She didn't talk about it. Because you know what? It's not about other people. This is a personal relationship with God. She didn't need everybody to hear what she was saying. She just went to the Father and prayed. That hit me. Because sometimes the more people hear, the more they have to use.
Oh, come on.
Right? This isn't about, number one, it's not about people knowing your business. Number two, they don't need to know what's going on. Number three, they not knowing means they get credit for fixing it. Only God can get credit for fixing it. So anyway, she gets to the temple. She's praying. Eli thinks she's drunk. And basically he's trying to kick her out. Get away from here, you wicked woman. What's wrong with you? And she's like, whoa, whoa, pump your brakes. But she was very respectful. And I have to say this. I love this because it says in verse 12, while she was praying in the Lord's presence, Eli watched her lips. In her hurt, in her pain, in her resentment, which meant she was angry, because let's be real, sometimes you're angry, even sometimes at God, about the way situations are working. This woman was barren, and her only desire was for a child. She was angry, but in her hurt, in her resentment, because she went to the throne, God met her there. She prayed in the presence of the Lord, and Hannah said to Eli, when he accused her of being drunk, no, my Lord, I am a woman with a broken heart. I haven't had any wine or beer. I've been pouring out my heart before the Lord. Don't think of me as a wicked woman. I have been praying from the depth of my anguish and resentment. Eli responded, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the petition you've requested from him. May your servant find favor with you, she replied. Then Hannah went on her way. She ate and no longer appeared downcast. So we meet Hannah. It talks about how Penina irritates her and grates on her nerves year after year. She cries, she can't eat. She goes to the temple, she cries, she can't eat. She prays in God's presence. The man of God speaks. She gets up. She goes on her way. She eats and doesn't appear downcast. What does that tell you about Hannah? It tells you that Hannah believed that whatever she prayed for was going to come to pass. Yes. When you're passionately pursuing God's presence, you have to believe. Yes. Hannah got up off her knees with expectation. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So Hannah trusted God's timing. Let me repeat that. Hannah trusted God's timing. And I don't know about you, but for me, that can sometimes be a struggle, right? Because we live in a time where we microwave things. We want it now. We want it now. And when it doesn't happen now, we think God's forgotten about us. But he hasn't forgotten about you. So after you pray, you leave it at the altar, you get up, go eat, fix your face, as they used to say. Because believe that God has a plan for you and that he's going to come through and that you're going to be victorious. So we're going to move a little further. And I have a spoiler alert. Hannah gets pregnant. Oh. Hannah gets pregnant and gives birth to a son named Samuel. God answered Hannah's prayer. All those years of fighting and hurting and being jealous, if I were to be honest, right? She finally gets what God promised her. And what does she do? Y'all aren't ready for this. She gives him back. She gives him back. Can you imagine wanting something so bad for years and years and years, and you prayed and you cried and you prayed and you cried, and the door opens, you get the house, you get the job, you get this, only to turn around and get the keys back. That was a lot to take in. But what I learned from that is that when you're passionately pursuing God's presence, you surrender. The Lord is concerned about all of your concerns. In Psalm 138 and 8, it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, it tells us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. So what you want to do is you want to return your gift to God, which is what Hannah did in verses 27 and 28. It says, I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked for, I now give the boy to the Lord. I'm going to give you a whole nother spoiler. It's something we didn't even talk about yet. When Hannah gave the boy back, she sent him to the temple to live with Eli and to grow up there under the prophet. The priests were Eli's sons. What I didn't tell you was, Eli's sons were not good people. they were wicked. The Bible says they were wicked. As a matter of fact, God said he was going to kill them because they would not straighten up and fly right. So what that told me is, you guys know what's going on at the church at the corner. You guys hear it. You guys see it. Whisper down the lane. It's on social media. Everybody knows everybody's business, right? So you can't tell me that Hannah did not know that Eli's sons were wicked. Yet, she kept her vow to the Lord, which tells me that that was full surrender. She trusted God to be God in the situation, because you know how we are. Nobody can do it like us. Nobody can take care of my baby like me. Can your kid come over? No. Because that's how we are. But knowing that, Hannah still kept her vow to the Lord because she believed him and she trusted him. And what it tells us is that in spite of Eli's sons being wicked, Samuel grew in stature and in favor with the Lord and men. Why? Because God already had a plan for Samuel's life. And I am going to be closing very, very soon. But in 1 Samuel, and we're going to fast forward to chapter 2, we find our girl Hannah, the same one that was crying, the same one that was resentful, the same one that couldn't eat, the same one that was laying on her face in a hot mess crying in front of Eli before having Samuel. We now find her in chapter 2. And in verses 1 through 10, Hannah prays a triumphant prayer and she worships. What I'm leading into is that when you passionately pursue God's presence, you will find reward. Yes. Hannah said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted up. My mouth boasts over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. The barren woman gives birth to seven, but the woman with many sons pines away. There was no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you, and there is no rock like our God. Another verse, she says, he guards the steps of his faithful ones, but the wicked are silenced in darkness, for a man does not prevail by his own strength. He will lift up the horn of his anointed. It talks about horn twice in this passage. And in the Bible, the horn means strength. Therefore, to have one's horn exalted denotes triumph and victory. Hannah was victorious. And as you passionately pursue God's presence, you will be victorious. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Hannah diligently sought the Lord. And then I love this. I love this. In Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, verse Samuel, it says, "The Lord paid attention to Hannah's need, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up where she left him, which was in the presence of the Lord." In the beginning, I mentioned that when the Lord dropped Hannah in my spirit, my reaction was, "But she's only known for being a mom." Samuel ended up anointing David as king, and Jesus descended from the line of David. I want you to know that your greatest accomplishment and contribution in this life may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Woo! Someone you raise. I love you guys. I look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.
Wow, wasn't that a powerful word? I love Hannah. Hannah is such an inspiration to me. I don't know about you, but if you think about it, Hannah desired to have a child so bad. But at the same time, God knew that he was going to need to raise up a prophet for a nation. So while she was praying just for a son, God was developing a prophet that would for an entire nation. Just think about that. When we have a desire to pray for something and we know that God has birthed that in us, it is for a greater purpose than anything we could ever understand. It was something that was going to satisfy a need for Hannah, but it was something that was going to deliver a people for God. And so I want you to know that thing that is inside of you that you can't let go of, whatever that prayer is, it's for a greater purpose than what you can imagine. And as you trust and believe God, he's going to fulfill that for you. Father, I just thank you for such an awesome word today. And I just want to thank Kelly. She's done an amazing job. I want to hear more from her, right? So before we finish, as always, I never want to leave this place without giving you the opportunity to know Jesus as your personal Savior. As we've talked all month about passionately pursuing Christ, in order to pursue him, at the end of that is getting to know him, right? And knowing him as your Savior. And that's just one facet of him. But I want you to join with us and know him as your Savior. And see, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And I don't know, the last year for me has been a very traumatic year. There's been a lot of loss that has happened in our lives. But one thing I know is that even though we've lost and our family members have lost their lives, they really have not lost their lives at all. They're just relocated to a new location because they knew Jesus as their personal Savior. So we do what we call the ABCs of salvation. It's really simple. A, we acknowledge and we admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means every single one of us. We all need a Savior. There's nobody exempt from that. So A, acknowledge. The second one is believe. B, that not only that Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So A, we acknowledge. We acknowledge that we need a Savior. B, we believe in our hearts that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave and that he did that all for us. C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In Romans 10:9-10, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." The ABCs of salvation. Acknowledge, believe, and confess. That's all you have to do. And if you're ready to do that today, I want to walk you through this simple prayer that's going to help you do that. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. We just give you glory and honor and praise for everybody that said this prayer with us today. I don't know if you hear it, but I hear the angels singing and rejoicing on your behalf. The Bible says that the angels praise when somebody gets saved. And I'm so excited about that, that they rejoice, that they are happy about it. And so they're having a party in heaven because now you have acknowledged and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. We want to walk with you. We want to help you on this journey. And so if you said that prayer with us today, I want you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, A-L-L-I-N to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in to 609-831-3377. We want to partner with you, and we want to walk on this journey with you. God bless you.